Today's Hard Factor is brought to you by Tommy John. Not sure if you can tell, but we're super excited to have Tommy John underwear as our sponsor this week. And the good folks at TJ sent all of us Hard Factor boys Tommy John undies so we could experience how they're redefining comfort for men and women. But I have a little confession to make. I didn't get my Tommy Johns because I'm a slacker and I forgot to submit my order. But luckily, I found a workaround. See, I have a secret key to Mark's house. So rather than miss out on the comfort, I've been wearing Mark's. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, but don't worry. I've been sneaking them back into his drawer every night. And honestly, I've never felt closer to him. Let me tell you guys, this is the best pair of underwear I've ever owned. Even with the strain of back-to-back uses by different men, these things keep you nestled in one place. And luckily for Mark, Tommy John's underwear sports a no wedgie guarantee. Order a pair today or borrow your friends. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/hard right now for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/hard for 20% off. Only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
What it is!
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage!
And this is
Hard Factor! And there is no one that does it better!
Right now, yeah!
Nobody does it better! I ain't repeating myself, go ahead, tell me something right now!
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist! And I'm always cheering!
Oh yeah!
Hard Factor, it is Wednesday, January 9th, and I'm going to warn you up front, this episode is dark as fuck.
So, hump day, baby.
Yeah, just warning
but,
you.
But all good, right. but funny, or just dark as fuck?
Funny, it'll be funny, but all also right. Really dark, really,
in
really
a sick
bad.
Way.
Yeah, sick stuff, disgusting stuff. All right, top stories. Let's get into these nasty stories. All right, Pat's going to do one about R. Kelly under criminal investigation for being R. Kelly.
Easily the biggest piece of shit with a record deal on the planet.
Mark's going to take one about the CEO of the worst hospital in the world resigning.
Yeah. The only reason this guy's not on Pat's list is because he doesn't have a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's a sick fuck.
Wes is going to do one about a Democratic mega donor who has no clue how people keep dying in his mansion, allegedly.
Oh, I think he has a pretty good idea of how they keep dying.
I'll take us through a lightning round of other headlines. Take it away, Pat.
All right. When you're talking about the most prolific and accomplished sex pests of all time, you really can't start the conversation anywhere other than with R&B singer R. Kelly. He's a man among boys when it comes to sex pestery. I mean, this guy has done it all. I'm talking a leaked sex tape of him urinating on a 14-year-old girl. I'm talking falsifying documents so he could marry a then 15-year-old Aaliyah. I'm talking a luxurious safari-themed mansion where he can hang his hat. Oh, and he collaborated with Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah. What more could an accomplished sexual predator ask for? Well, you could add 6-hour-long documentary series chronicling almost 5 decades of prolific sexual dickbaggery.
Yeah, they usually only make those after you're dead.
Mm-mm, he's alive, baby.
Jeez.
That's because Lifetime Network has released a 6-part docuseries titled Surviving R. Kelly that explores the Remix to Ignition singer's chronic, irresponsible use of his penis. The documentary features...
It's the Remix to Ignition. Now I got to get back. You got to get back on the school bus.
Yes, get on the school bus, but then come back later. Yeah, the doc features testimony from more than 50 victims, journalists, family members, and other people generally close to the singer, talking about how knowing R. Kelly has made their lives undeniably more terrible. Yeah, for those of you who don't know the music of R. Kelly, please don't start exploring his glorious and expansive catalog of R&B and talk singing now. Because after you see this doc, your moral obligation to not enjoy his sexually themed musings will haunt you.
Yeah, I like R. Kelly too much to even watch it. I trust everybody that he's a piece of shit, but like, I feel like I'm probably going to avoid it. Just like, I'll just keep coming up with excuses not to watch it.
You have a choice, watch it or listen to R. Kelly.
Well, yeah, it's like the same thing with Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
I'm supposed to not listen to Michael Jackson and
I like R.
Kelly
music, you know? So
hold on. Michael Jackson was bad, but this is a whole level of sex pestery above Michael Jackson?
Debatable.
Very debatable.
Jackson was just not caught as red-handed.
Little boys.
But I mean, Little Boys is
let me get
they're,
into
they're,
it.
They're both horrible.
Reserve
it's
your
bad,
opinion
bad.
For now, okay?
But I'm just saying that's a lot of R&B. I'd all have right, to
well,
stop
that
listening
was
to.
So horrible.
Okay, all right. So the good people at Billboard did an
excellent
job.
I'm going to plug my ears. I'm not going to listen.
Don't listen, Will. The good people at Billboard did an excellent job highlighting some key takeaways from the documentary. I want to take you guys through a few of them so you can really wrap your head around the special type of sex weapon that is R. Kelly. All right, so first, the Michael Jackson song You Are Not Alone, which Kelly wrote, was allegedly about a teenager who R. Kelly impregnated when she was a senior in high school. So I guess he meant she wasn't alone because she now had his baby inside her.
Yes.
Yeah. The woman, quick side note, the woman then miscarried the demon spawn after Kelly gave her mono. So that's classy.
She missed out.
Yeah. And then in 2008, when Kelly was on trial for child pornography, a number of teenage fans rallied outside the courthouse to support the singer. And Kelly, who's never one to waste a good opportunity, he picked up a 14-year-old fan of his and then he groomed her for a couple years before taking her virginity and telling her that he was going to train her.
He waited a couple of years. I don't buy that.
Yeah,
I mean, but that's like shooting fish in a barrel. She showed up to protest on his behalf, so he knew she would do whatever the fuck he said from the beginning. So
and then she showed up at a safari themed mansion.
Right. Yeah. You think R. Kelly's not going to take advantage right there
at that point? All right. Look, and finally, in the crown jewel of sex pesting, Kelly ran a sex cult for a number of years, allegedly brainwashing his victims, many of whom were never seen again by their families.
That's horrible.
Let's take it to the internet. So Virgil English Hill says, happy belated birthday, R. Kelly, because yesterday was R. Kelly's birthday.
Where'd they go?
Oh, man. Is it my story?
You're up, Mark.
Like, we don't make the news. We just talk about it. Did you guys hear the insane story about the woman who was in a vegetative state for over a decade and then just gave birth while still in a vegetative state?
Yeah. Sounds familiar. What?
That just came out in the news. Pretty gross, right? I don't want to spell out the scenario for you, but let's just say it was not an immaculate reception.
Wait a minute.
Conception. Oh. Reception is the Steelers play where Franco Harris dropped the ball, but everybody said
it was neither of those.
But
it wasn't the Franco Harris catch or Jesus being born.
But if she was a vegetable, I wait. Oh, God.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So the CEO.
That's what happened, Pat.
The CEO of the Phoenix-based Hacienda Healthcare Nursing Facility, where the woman was being cared for, resigned on Monday. Bill Timmons had been the longtime chief executive officer of Hacienda Healthcare, and apparently his resignation was unanimously accepted.
That's weird. I wonder why that was.
Let me tell you exactly why that was.
110%.
Yeah. He was there for three decades, by the way. After looking at one picture of this fucking guy, I'm pretty sure I know why the board's decision was unanimous. And if I was a detective that had able sight, I'd know exactly whose DNA to swab first. It would be a pretty open and shut case.
Jesus, this poor fucking family. Imagine your daughter's in like a 15-year vegetative state. You're waiting on a phone call, and the phone call you get is, no, she didn't wake up. She's just pregnant.
Oh, yeah. No, honey, not only that. They didn't know she was pregnant. She had the baby. They got that phone call eventually.
The phone call was, you have a grandchild.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Her father's like, honey, remember how I said this couldn't get any worse?
Yeah. Well, Bill Timmons, going back to him, looks like the most insane person that's ever lived. I don't know how he wasn't living in a cave and how he was the CEO of a company, because he's just take a look at.
He's definitely
going to
be the
guy.
Picture on the blog for this.
He's like an extra in Deliverance.
He looks like Chucky grew up is what he looks like.
He's got some issues with his eyes. The unidentified patient was a 29-year-old Native American woman. She'd been in a vegetative state for 14 years, so since she was 15, after a near-drowning incident. And the woman gave birth to a healthy baby boy on December 29th. So that's like literally the only nice part of this story.
Yeah, but still, it's nice that the boy's healthy and stuff and that he'll grow up to be a normal kid. But like, how do you explain to him where he's from, you know?
Yeah, normal, yeah. Yeah, normal kid?
Jesus Christ, what was he like? Hey, Don't move if you consent.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Okay. No, I'm kidding. He's a horrible human.
Oh, God. Yeah, great father. Hacienda Healthcare said in a statement
he's a new
Tuesday
father.
Evening.
Mazel tov.
Oh, God. That Phoenix police have served search warrants to obtain DNA from all male staffers at the facility. I hope that includes the CEO who just abruptly left. I don't know.
He was absent that day.
Also, this is a very good start, but maybe, you know, unfortunately, there are also visitors. So not just the staffer. So we'll see.
This guy's going to be hanging from a noose in about a week.
I would say anyone that quit in the past couple weeks probably start there. But Gary Orman, the executive vice president of the facilities board, said in a statement that Hacienda Healthcare will accept nothing less than a full accounting of this absolutely horrifying situation. And and while Orman might be upset and disgusted, something tells me Bill Timmons was probably just surprised this took so long.
Pretty sure that the judges are also going to want a full resolution, idiot.
That was probably the most stressful 9 months any human on this planet's had.
Orman's like, no one can be more hard on ourselves than ourselves.
Yeah, he just set his own ticking time bomb.
The state can be. A former Hacienda manager said that Timmons, the disgraced CEO, insisted that a 1988 incident of abuse of a different patient be covered up. So apparently a group of female nurses were standing around a nonverbal male patient's bed. See the theme here? And they were talking inappropriately about his dick and his balls. So
they were just fondling his package and discussing it.
Look at this guy's dick. The ex-manager said that when this issue was addressed at a manager's meeting, Timmons slammed his fist on the table and said, no one is going to report this. Even though the law required such incidents to be reported. So she said that everyone was scared of Bill Timmons because he had a temper and they knew not to mess with him because they would get fired. Yeah. And she also went on to say that she was pretty certain that a lot of other incidents happened at Hacienda throughout the years. So, no shit.
I give the best blowjobs in town. I bet I can get him to wake up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Ooh. Oh,
damn it.
There's some nasty shit happening, man, at that fucking place. 30 years of this guy just cadaver, not cadavers, but like, you know, zombie. People in a coma's getting fucked.
That's what Jeffrey Dahmer used to do.
It was like the juvenile prison in the movie Sleepers, except the victims were all in fucking comas.
Yeah,
so let's take it.
Crazy.
Let's take this sick story. Jason Patrick,
really good.
There's a lot of good actors in that movie. Let's take this sick story to the internet. Evan B says, "Unbelievable that this happened in a nursing care center and nobody noticed she was pregnant." Good call. Mm-hmm. I think that all the employees there might have been in a vegetative state, so a little insensitive, but good call. And then Odilia also says insensitively, "Close down that brothel," because there's a lot of fucked up shit going on there.
Jeez, Odilia, it's like you get these sleeping whores out of here.
Do we have any good story? Happy story?
This one's a little bit lighter.
Oh, yeah, this next one's good, right, Wes?
It's a little bit lighter. Edward Buck, or Ed Buck as he is known, is a prominent donor to the Democratic Party and political activist living in Hollywood, California. He first gained notoriety back in the 80s when he led a successful campaign to impeach and remove Evan Meacham from his governor's seat in Arizona, and since then has been very active in the Democratic Party. You can, you know, a lot of times see him with the blowhorn at campaigns and whatnot. He's donated to big Democratic campaigns, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, over the past years.
The major ones, the big ones.
Big ones. But over the past couple years, old Ed, who is now 64, has gained notoriety for some other kind of donations he has been making. Seems old Ed has a proclivity for bringing men back to his Hollywood apartment, possibly feeding them drugs, and letting them OD in his apartment. So very, very hospitable, good host.
If he's not supplying the drugs, he's certainly encouraging them to do them.
Yes, absolutely.
In ridiculous quantities, right?
Right.
Yeah, so back in July of 2017, a 26-year-old black male named Jamel Moore died of a meth overdose in that apartment, and it was later found out that Moore was actually an escort. So that death was ruled an accidental OD, but now a second man...
Oh, the 26-year-old meth addict that was... 40 years younger than Ed wasn't his acquaintance. He was just an escort. No shit.
No. A bad escort at that, probably.
So now a second man has been found dead in Ed's apartment. This time,
another escort.
It's an apartment. I mean, like, how many people dying in your fucking if two people die in your apartment? That's a real problem there.
It's kind of eerie too because the apartment has like above the number. It has clouds or heaven, as you might.
How many people die in your apartment?
It just smells like heavy drugs and death.
So
it's terrible.
So the second man, who was apparently Ed's longtime friend, called up Ed, insisted that he come over. In a statement given by Buck's lawyer, the lawyer said, "Ed was reluctant, but the friend was insistent. So Ed allowed the friend to come over." Probably what happens every single time.
Yeah.
It's like, I really rather you didn't.
Yeah, Ed hates when his friends come over. He just really never wants them over at all, I bet.
And don't come over to this table of drugs.
No, you wouldn't want to do these great clean drugs.
Coincidentally, a short time later, the man began, quote, exhibiting bizarre behavior, which prompted Buck to call 911. And a short time later, you know, after Ed probably gave him the dirty shit he gives everyone.
It prompted Buck to take a breather, change the sheets, then call 911.
I fucked him before they were dead.
Yeah. So long story short, this is the second death in this guy's apartment in 18 months. A lot of people want him arrested, including members of the black community, the LGBT community. They think he's just a fucking predator, basically.
Well,
which
yeah.
Sounds
I mean,
like
he's
he
killed,
is.
He's killed two people in his apartment that he may have fed the drugs to. You think yeah. he's doing the drugs with them?
Well, it's either Ed's 64-year-old heart has built up a tolerance to these drugs, he's not doing them at all, or he knows they're just bad and just giving them out willy-nilly.
This is house behavior. Ed needs to get out of a fucking apartment if he's going to be murdering prostitutes.
Ed's like an yeah. Ed's like an ugly old dude that's fucking these young prostitutes, and yeah. so I don't think he's... I think what he's doing is just like making them comfortable. He's providing yes, whatever yes. they want to stay in his apartment.
So you don't
so
think he's doing the drugs? This is right. a bad batch he keeps reusing.
Right.
It might not be that he's purposely giving them bad batches. I think that he's probably had thousands of prostitutes in his apartment. Yes. I think that he just lets them do heavy drugs so that they pull the pants down.
It's yeah. a numbers game.
Yeah. I mean, you think after the first time someone OD'd in your apartment, you'd stop letting people stick needles in their arms. This guy's homeowner's insurance must be just through the fucking roof.
Well, lightning doesn't usually strike.
Yeah, okay.
So no charges has been filed as of yet. Buck's lawyers seem confident he will once again be cleared of all wrongdoing and continue on his ways. Going to the internet, Matthew Andrews says, the moral of this story is don't go to Ed Buck's house to party. Good moral there.
That's true. Yeah.
So stay away from Ed Buck's house if you're a young prostitute in Hollywood.
Absolutely. Nice obvious comment from that reader.
Words of wisdom, guys, yeah. for all the prostitutes out there in Hollywood.
All right, let's take it to the lightning round of other headlines we couldn't get to. So... the meeting invite announcement live from the Oval Office. It's what we'd all been waiting for Tuesday night. President Trump addressed the nation for the first time from the Oval Office to let us all know that he has invited the Democrats to a meeting that's supposed to happen today where they can finally agree to pay for his steel slat wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. So
what were all those? You saw those pins behind him? What the fuck were those things?
Pins he didn't earn. I got to tell you.
I don't know. He's sniffling a lot, and he said the word human instead of human constantly. Yeah. So
I was pretty disappointed. I really prefer my Trumps without a teleprompter.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're likely to get a better show for sure. Yeah. yeah but yeah. So it was basically he announced this thing to do nothing. And shortly after, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, they took the stage to say that Trump should reopen the government first. And then discuss wall funding, but in order to reopen the government, Trump would have to sign a spending bill that there's no wall funding in. So basically, nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah, they wasted 20 minutes of everyone's fucking night.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Nowhere closer.
Yeah, it's just nothing at all happened. All right, three updates from the Mueller investigation as of Tuesday. First, a new court filing reveals that Paul Manafort is accused of giving polling information, so like political polling information, to a Russian with government connections while working for Trump's presidential campaign.
That's a no-no.
Yeah. Second, the Supreme Court ruled against a foreign company seeking to avoid dealing with the Mueller investigation altogether. So now this company has to release information to the investigation or be fined. So it's interesting. And then finally, the third one, reports are that Paul Manafort is depressed and dealing with gout in jail.
Yeah, I mean, if you have gout and you can't sleep, you become depressed. It's just facts. They go hand in hand.
You feel for Manafort?
No, definitely.
I heard from a friend.
Definitely.
It's not like a chicken and the egg thing. It's gout first, then depression.
Hand in hand.
Gout's just terrible.
They're best friends.
All right. Johnny Bobbitt, the Philly bum who was part of the GoFundMe scheme with the New Jersey couple, failed to appear in court on Tuesday for his hearing. So now there's a warrant out for his arrest. And
they let that guy out on fucking bail?
Yeah.
He didn't kill anyone.
He's not going to go anywhere, you know?
Yeah. Let's let the.
Yeah. Sure. Well, anyways, there's, quote, speculation that Johnny might be partying in the streets.
Yeah, good, it's a good theory.
Yeah. Who said earlier? Really we're find the loudest bridge.
Yeah, exactly. Go under the bridge and find the loudest bridge.
There you go. The Phoenix, Arizona girl that got arrested in April for sending a guy over 65,000 texts over 10 months and breaking into his home while he was out of the country after only going on one date with him. It turns out she actually sent over 159,000 texts. One of those read, "I'd make sushi out of your kidneys and chopsticks out of your hand bones."
Jesus.
And so despite all that, Jacqueline Ades, that's her name, has pleaded not guilty to the charges of stalking and criminal trespassing. And her trial is scheduled to begin February 5th.
I've definitely had a few drunk nights that if they turned into like Groundhog Day, I would have racked up some numbers and texts as well.
Yeah, I kind of like
you ever get a triple digit text night out, Wes?
I guarantee I have.
Easily, yeah.
All right, that's it for Hard Factor tonight. Thank you all so much for listening. We've got nutritionist Stephanie on tomorrow night to join for the hashtag Hard Factor Hard Body Diet Competition update. So you definitely do not want to miss that one. Subscribe on iTunes, follow on Twitter and Instagram, and please help us bump the show in 2019. We're trying to take over the government category in iTunes and much more this year. Go have yourself an incredible Wednesday.
See you later.